The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, it's good to see each of you here this morning, and we will continue our series that we began several weeks ago. Because it was Independence Day, I decided to put together a mini-series that I thought would be appropriate for before the actual Independence Day. And then also to follow through to this Sunday. So as the text we're using from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. And with many other words, John, this is John the Baptizer, exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. Quite a bold man to stand before the king and do what he did, paid every price for it. As I've been telling you for the last several weeks that when John stood up, he set a pattern for people like me who stand in the pulpit, and those who teach the Word of God, that we, first of all, preach the Word. But we also need to stand up against unrighteousness in high places. And the pulpits have been quiet too long. And that's why I've got my black robe on. As those of you who have been here each week, there was a group called the Black Robe Regiment, named so by King George III, because he was so infuriated with the pulpits of the 1700s who spoke against his injustices and the things that he was doing that were contrary to the Word of God. So I thought it appropriate to put on the black robe to speak about some subjects that are pertinent to us. The Declaration of Independence said that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Those are rights that cannot be taken away from us. They were bestowed on us by God. That among these, it's not a complete list, but he said among these, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the first sermon we preached was about what are the duties of government for life, to preserve life. Last week we spoke about why you were endowed by God with liberty. And today we're going to wrap up with talking about your pursuit of happiness. Okay? And so how do you pursue your right of happiness? And let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And everybody said, amen. Amen. In America, we use the word happy to proclaim a state in which we have peace and enjoyment. We say, happy birthday. We say, happy 4th of July. Happy New Year. The Declaration of Independence says that God gave us the right to pursue happiness. Now, is happiness so elusive a thing that it needs to be pursued? That we need to some way search for it in order to be able to find it, to reach that state of happiness? I know that if we were to ask each other when we proclaim happy days, what do you mean by that? We would get a variety of answers, you know. But I think they would all be consistent with the idea of we want you to have a euphoric day. We want you to be free from trouble today. We want you to be happy. But if you find happiness, is it a permanent condition? I mean, if you can get there, if you pursue it, and you find it, do you own it forever? Is it that kind of a thing? Well, we're going to go through this morning and talk about a lot of things, but I thought it was appropriate to look at what did the founding fathers think happiness was? What was their definition? Is it the same definition that we have? Or did they use that word in a different way? Did they have a different thought in mind? And I did some research, and I found some people that you may or may not know about. A guy by the name of Isaac Watts wrote a book called Logic in 1725, and he said, happiness consists in the attainment of the highest and most lasting natural good. That's pretty good. Happiness consists in the attainment of the highest and most natural good. So some kind of way you get there, you attain this thing called happiness. So happiness is not evidently something that instantaneously falls on you when someone says, Happy New Year. But it's something that you make progress towards, according to Mr. Isaac Watts. And the reason I chose him, because it's 1725, remember that the founding fathers were mostly young people in that period of time, and they were influenced by the writers. You know, they didn't have Fox News and CBN and ABC and all the other things to look at. They actually did something that's very alien today. They actually read. I mean, they got books out. They had libraries, and they read books to learn about things. There was another guy by the name of John Lott, I mentioned him to you before, who inspired, and all the founding fathers just about wrote after the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution had been written, said how so much of it came from John Lott. So John Lott was a great inspiration. And those of you who like to see exciting movies and go see The Lone Ranger, if you have seen it, you will notice that they have a book that was written by John Lott, and they mention it. Now, the only people who know that is people from New Beginnings Church, because you've heard about it. The rest of the group didn't even know. They were just looking for the silver bullet. But when I saw that, I said, yes, Lone Ranger. You know, I thought they had something good going for them. So, John Lott, in 1682, a little over 100 years before the Declaration of Independence, wrote, he said, God gave us life, liberty, sound familiar, and property. Property. He said that was a gift from God. Now, Thomas Jefferson, in his divine wisdom, changed that to be the pursuit of happiness. Now, what John Lott wrote wasn't like the Bible that you can't change, so it was okay to change what John Lott said. And I thought that was interesting when I discovered that. Lott said, pursuing true happiness was the foundation of liberty. So he said to pursue true happiness is the very foundation of the liberty that he felt that men should have. Now remember, this is 100 years before the Declaration of Independence, okay? When he wrote this book. In fact, he wrote several books. Lott also said this, true happiness may mean this, we are obliged to suspend the satisfaction of our desires in particular cases. True happiness means that we suspend the satisfaction of our desire in particular cases. As we just read, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that if we really want to attain happiness, we're not going to get it from you saying, happy birthday. You know, we might like it. It's a nice salutation. We kind of do it. But if we want to be truly happy, and if you believe these philosophers and brilliant men of their day who wrote things, and we believe that our founding fathers were correct when they wrote that God gave us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a right that we have. Well, we know we need to preserve life, okay? We know that we need liberty. And you can't have liberty unless you have life. And it's through liberty that we can take the final step in this trio of things that they spoke of, and that's to pursue happiness. Now, most of us would say, if I were to ask you, to pursue happiness, to win the $600 million lottery would be true happiness. You know? For Uncle John and Aunt Mabel to give you a new Ferrari would be happiness. You know? To win the new house that the Builders Association raffled off this couple of weeks ago. Lady won a brand new house valued at somewhere around $500,000, something like that. Big, beautiful four-bedroom house, you know, just really a, you know, the cat's meow, as they say. You know, that would make you happy. How many of you, don't raise your hand, all right, but how many of you discovered that when you got these things that you thought would make you happy, you found out that happiness was fleeting? You know, it just kind of, it was like sand through an hourglass. It just kind of ebbed away. Particularly when you get something home. Just recently, I bought a hands-free answering device for my automobile. This is good for you. It makes you safer. Because if I talk on my phone with one hand, I have nothing left to drive with. Okay. So this is good because I do it with my knees. And some of you have been in the car and I've seen the worried look on your face. And you reach out to grab the steering wheel because you don't trust my knees when I drive. So I got a hands-free answer thing. And it's really nice. Costs $75. Retail, it's $120. I got it online from Amazon for $75. I got it. I put it in my car. It worked for a day. And I had to send it back, and I had to send me a new one. You know, so the happiness of getting it disappeared within a day, and I had to get another one. So I've got the other one. The only problem with the new one I got, it doesn't speak my gravelly Italian voice. It doesn't understand it very well. So when I say, call home, it says, calling the president, or something else, you know. It just goes, and I got to hit the little button to stop it from calling because it's calling the wrong place. So, but anyway, you get the point. These things just don't give us what we need. And is it possible, do you think, that we could reach a place of true happiness? Let's see. Let's see if that's really attainable, if that's something that we Homo sapiens could actually do. So let's look at how you could have happiness. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is you exercise the pursuit of happiness where you recognize the source of happiness. Genesis 2:9, the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then down in verse 16 and 17, same chapter, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So God set Adam free. He said, buddy, you are free. The garden is yours. Knock yourself out. You know, he had the freedom to do and eat whatever he wanted in the garden. But God gave this free man something that has been the plague of mankind, a choice, the will to choose. You and I can choose. And sad to say, without raising your hands, some of you made some bad choices. You know? And you would testify. I've heard some of you testify. You've made bad choices and you suffer the consequences for those bad choices. Well, you're not alone. Adam was the first one. He and Eve made the first bad choice. And you and I have suffered the consequences of it ever since. So, freedom does not allow you to choose to do whatever you want to do. And we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. But God gave Adam liberty that he could choose to do right. He said, you must not eat. So here we go. Freedom is the ability to have it all. Liberty is the restraint that you can't have everything because some things are not good for you. Some of the things you want to do are not good for you. Some of you would listen to your parents. You would have saved yourself a lot of heartache. Amen? How wise have your parents get after a few years? You know, they knew things that you didn't know about life. How many times have the law said, don't do something, and you did it? Don't run that red light, and you ran it. Don't speed, and you were speeding. You know, all the things that we do, we make these bad choices. So we're free, but liberty says you can't choose, or you must choose, and you can only choose those things that are right. You got that picture? Now, if you choose correctly, that is the pursuit, to choose correctly. And when you choose correctly, then this state of happiness comes into your life. Now, let me draw some pictures for you. You can be locked up in a jail. Heaven forbid that you should be. But you could be locked up in a jail. You still have liberty to choose within that confines of what they'll let you do. And you can choose to be happy by choosing the right things, even within the jail. There's a good friend of mine. I haven't seen him in many years. He was incarcerated for many years. He was just, the way he described himself, he said, I was the kid your mother's warned you about. And he's a bad dude. He said he was in more trouble. He did drugs. He, you know, he was the original glue sniffer and, you know, got in all kinds of trouble, was locked up, you know, a whole bunch of times. He said, I was so stupid, I didn't only just rob good people, I robbed drug pushers. You see, good people in the police have rules. Drug pushers have no rules. And they were pursuing him. You know, that's the life that he chose for himself. Well, he finally got locked up in the toughest prison in America, according to Time Magazine, a place called The Ham in Texas. And in that jail, he said it was so bad and so hot that he would get down in the cell, no air conditioning, in the summer and just try to sniff a little breeze at the bottom of the cell just to keep himself from going crazy. It was so hot and so terrible. And that's where he was. And the only thing they would let him have is a gift from his mother, which was one of these. And he said he didn't have anything else to do, so he decided to read this. And in that hellhole on this earth, he discovered Christ. Transformed his life. He told me after he got out of jail, and I got a chance to meet him, he said he was happier and freer and had more liberty in jail than he had when he got out of jail. He said it was the best time of his life, the years that he spent in solitary confinement. He was so bad they locked him up because he was a bad influence on the other prisoners. And he had the Bible. And he found true happiness, the pursuit of truth that he found in Christ Jesus. God gave Adam liberty to choose, so you must choose to do right. He said, you must not eat. He could choose to eat of any tree. He could have the tree of life, or he could have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam's happiness depended on his choice, and he chose wrong. It's important how you choose. Now, we believe in the grace of God and the wonderfulness of God, and you get born again, you're on the road to heaven, whether you want to go or not. You know, you're going. You're born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. I mean, God's in you and changed things. You are not what you were. You are something new. You know, you are on the road to heaven. I've got some good friends who don't believe that, and I keep telling them all the time. You want a road to heaven? And when you get there, I'm going to say, I told you so. I believe that with all my heart. The scriptures talk about that. We're not under the law. We're under grace. It's a whole new ball game. Old things pass away. All things become new. However, what does not change is your ability to choose. You still have the ability to choose. And you can make bad choices as a born-again believer and get yourself in a mess of trouble. Does that mean God doesn't love you? Of course not. I mean, go read Romans 8. It says, what could keep you, God, from loving you? We sang that song this morning. This one thing, the love of God is constant. He is constantly loving and watching over you. And some would say, wrongly so, well, if I'm on the road to heaven, then that means I can do whatever I want to do. And the answer to that is, you can choose that, but you will suffer the consequences of bad choices. And you will not fulfill what our founding fathers wanted you to have, the pursuit of happiness. You'll be pursuing sorrow instead of happiness. So it does matter what you choose. And you need to learn to make the right choices. Most of the time, people make the wrong choices because A, that's what they want to do, or B, they don't know any better. Well, for A, you can do something about it. You can choose, as John Lott said, you can choose to not satisfy your desires. Beloved, you cannot satisfy every desire that your flesh will come up with. It's got more ways to mess you up than Carter's got little pills, if you remember that from way back in the ancient days, all right? I mean, you got things that'll, your flesh wants stuff. It is a craving thing. One of my seminary professors said, one of the big differences between man and animal is that an animal will only do so much until it gets itself satisfied. Where human beings will go beyond the satisfaction and gorge ourselves on whatever it is that we want to do. And therein lies the problem. That we gorge ourselves on the things of this world, and as I told you last week, then we begin to blame everybody but ourselves. And we're in good company. It's that woman you gave me, Lord. It's that serpent who did it. Why are you all covered up there with those fig leaves? Why are you hiding? Because they knew they had chosen wrong. See, they had happiness. They had life. They had liberty. They had happiness as long as they chose correctly. And when they chose wrong, they did not have happiness. They lost it. And that step that they took was a big one. And we don't know how far they fell. We really don't know. But it was a big, deep cavern of darkness that they fell into. And it was only Jesus Christ who was able to come along and get them and us out of that. Okay? So, make the right choices. If you want to follow the dream of America is you choose rightly. There are things that are available to us in this nation that you can't find anywhere else on the planet. I mean, we are blessed beyond measure to live in America. We really are. I saw a guy one time who had just gone on a worldwide trip around the world, and he came back, and he was a black man. This is back 30 years ago. And he said, I was so glad to get back home to America. He said, if you don't like it here, you can leave, and you can be the first one in line, because nobody's in line in front of you trying to get out of here. He said, every nation I went to, there was a line of people trying to get out. So nobody's trying to get out of America.
And come here. They were trying to get out to come here.
They were trying to get out to come here. This is an awesome place. But we can mess it up. We can misuse our liberty and misuse our freedom to hurt ourselves. We can choose things that are wrong that'll hurt us. Now, I don't mean this to be... detrimental to, I believe, a brother in Christ. But I saw a brother in Christ do something last week that was so detrimental that I thought he had lost his mind. For some reason, he believed it was God's will for him to string a 2-inch cable across the Grand Canyon and walk across it. don't think he chose right. Now he got away with it. You know, and somebody said, you know, they saw him when he walked across it. What's their family name? The Walendas, yeah. And that he was using the name of Jesus the whole way he's walking across it. I said, you bet he was. And so would you. It'd be a problem in the name of Jesus, too. You walking across a 2-inch cable going across the Grand Canyon. Huh? Well, that's an example of sometimes you making a choice. Now, he was trained in all those things. But, you know, if he'd have failed, it wouldn't have been any happiness. You know, the happiness would have been a fleeting thing. We'd have all seen it all around the world, live and in color, as they say. But he made it, so he, you know, he's okay. Doesn't mean it was the right choice. He just got away with it. Of course, he's a professional, and you and I wouldn't try that. Would you, Rose? No, I didn't think so. Yeah, okay. And you're a little wild sometimes. I just don't know. You might have just, decided to do that. But we just need to be careful about the choices that we make. The choices that we make. One of the things that we need to do is to learn how to make choices. There was a guy by the name of, the name escapes him right now, but he wrote a book and he talked about how to make a choice. And he said, choices are like harbor lights that lead into a harbor. And if you know anything about boats, you line up the harbor lights in the right direction and it'll take you safely in. That's what they're there for. And he said, the first harbor light is, what does the Word of God say? You know, if you say, well, for me to be happy, I know it's God's will for me to divorce my wife and get marry my secretary. Well, you don't have to even look hard to find that in the book. It says no. So that couldn't possibly be God's will for happiness for your life, all right? So the Bible is very clear about that. He said the second harbor light, it's what are the circumstances? Well, the circumstances allow you to do what you believe that God wants you to do. If the Bible says it's okay, or maybe the Bible doesn't specifically speak against it, and the circumstances are there for you to do it, then go ahead and do it. Like for me, and you've heard me say this before, if I believe that God wanted me to be the greatest right-handed pitcher in the major leagues, this ain't going to happen. And for a lot of reasons, mostly because I don't have a right hand. This thing won't pitch a ball very well. It's just not designed to do that, okay? So the circumstances aren't there. So you say, well, God wants me to buy that $500,000 house for me and Mama to move into. And you make $25,000 a year, and you didn't win the lottery. And Aunt Mabel, Uncle John won't have any money to leave you. You know, the circumstances are you're not going to get that house. And if you get it, it's going to be great sorrow. I shared with you a couple of years ago about somebody who did exactly that. This guy wanted a house, Slidell is a house beyond his means, and he wanted it so bad, he forced his wife to go to work. They had two kids, so he could buy that house. That house became such sorrow that marriage ended in divorce. Wasn't any happiness there. Well, if the circumstances are okay and the Word of God is okay, then here comes the last thing to help you in your pursuit of happiness. What does the Holy Spirit say to you? In the quietness of between you and God, not what you want the Holy Spirit to say, but what does He say? Is there a peace inside about this? Do you have a sense of well-being about it? And if the answer is yes, then go ahead and then step out this way on the pursuit of happiness. Say, Lord, I am going to step out by faith in this area. If you don't want me to go, close the doors. Close the doors that no man can open. And if God opens the doors, go ahead and go with it. That's a good way to make decisions, you know, in the pursuit of happiness. But if the Holy Spirit, if you've got that feeling inside that says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Even if the scripture says it's all right, even if the circumstances are there, don't do it. Because if you do, you're probably going to get yourself into a place where you're losing the happiness that God wants you to have. Does that make sense to you? Is that a nice little easy way to help you when you want to make decisions? What is that guy's name? Is it Mumford? That's it. I was going to call him Bumford. I knew there was a B and an M in there somewhere. Bob Mumford wrote that book a long, long time ago. So, happiness is the state of following God. It is a state of following God. Now, I know in today's economy of political correctness in our world today, especially here in America, they wouldn't agree with that, but I'm telling you that that for you is truth. It's true for everyone, but you understand it more because you're a born-again believer. But the state of following God, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Asking Him, inviting Him into every decision, every choice that you make. Happiness disappears when you choose wrong. The founding fathers gave us freedom. They did not give us liberty. They gave us freedom. They fought. They died. And those who followed in the armed services to provide that you and I can have freedom. God gave all men liberty, which is the right to choose right from wrong. That's the liberty. You can choose right from wrong. You can make that decision. Need to learn to make the right decisions. Your pursuit of happiness is only in context of God's liberty, of the liberty that God gives you to choose. Only faith in God's Son generates true happiness. If you don't know God as your Savior, you don't know anything. You will never, ever be happy on this planet. If there was a way to be happy, I would have found it. I pursued it all of my young life and my young adult life. I wanted to be a success. I wanted to have things. I educated myself. I did everything I could in order to be a success. And I ended up a shipwreck. And that song that Bill Gaither wrote, you know, about he made something beautiful in my life. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. That's where I was in my life, seeking after this world. That's why I told Pat, when he puts on my tombstone, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When I stopped searching for the world and I found Christ, it changed the way that I perceived life and what true happiness was. Suddenly, all those things that I felt I had to have didn't mean anything to me anymore. The only thing that mattered to me was knowing Him and serving Him. That's what happens. And I know some of you experienced that exact same thing. God changed your perspective on life, and you were able to pursue true happiness. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have the things of this life. But it does mean He doesn't want you to thirst after them as a deer thirst after the water brook. What are you supposed to thirst after? Thirst after God. That's what the psalmist said. My soul longs for you as a deer longs after the water brook. So that's God's divine plan for your life, that you would do that. And you will find happiness with Christ, and you will never find happiness without Christ. Now, some naysayers would say, boy, you sure are narrow-minded. And my answer is, you bet I am. Why? Because I know this to be true. I know how tough life can be, and I know how difficult it is for people to go through things and not know God. I've seen my share of heartaches and sorrows in this life. And I've seen people go through heartaches and sorrows. And I've seen the ones who go through it with happiness. Are we having a problem? Do we need to stop and pray? No? We okay? Okay, good. Far be it for me to keep preaching if somebody needs help, all right? So, all right, hallelujah. So, all right, let me get your attention. Back up here. Okay. Okay. Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Somebody, they're taking good care of her. I'm up here. Yeah, I can black out. Okay. I know it's wrong. Just watch the black robed man for a minute. Okay. So what you want to do is you want to, first of all, know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, you don't know beans. because he sets the stage for you to have the ability to pursue true happiness. Only in following Christ can you maintain happiness. I believe you can reach a stage of permanent happiness. It's a permanent sense of well-being. It's a permanent peace. You can have that peace in the midst of the storms of life. It's not that the storms of life don't hurt you. It's not that you don't feel the sting of the rain that blows against you. It's not that you don't feel the tossing and turning of life, a bark of ship that you're in on the waters of life, but that you know that you're okay. You're like Jesus, just like him, in fact. When he was aboard a ship, and everyone, the seasoned fishermen who were on the water all the time, believed that the boat was going down, and what was the master of the universe doing? Sound asleep. They woke him up. Jesus! Don't you know what's going on? And I could see him rub his eyes. I said, gee, what's the matter, boys? What's the problem? We're about to sink. And his response was, a little faith here. Little faith. And he stood up and he said, peace, be still. And the seas were calm and the wind ceased. See, God can do that in your life. He is there all the time. And some of the songs we sang this morning just really, really speak to that. Okay, second thing I want to talk to you about is that you understand how to pursue happiness. And let's go back to Matthew 6, 31 through 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, for what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Wow! The pagans. Any pagans in here? I hope not. You know? The pagans are running after those things. And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. So Father knows what you need, okay? Here's your job. Pursue happiness. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble its own. You can't do a thing about tomorrow, because we don't know that tomorrow comes. We have today. And we live and breathe and have our being in today. Governments can make you free, but only God can give you liberty, and you are responsible to pursue happiness by making the right choices. The pursuit of happiness is on the pathway of liberty, that we have the ability. We're not robots. We're not forced into a certain lifestyle by God to do things. I was having a conversation with someone this week. We were talking about a particular lifestyle, and he said, well, people live that way because they were born that way. And I said, well, I don't think so. Why would God make someone born to do something directly contrary to his word? So it doesn't make any sense to me that God would do that. That doesn't sound like the God that I know. That sounds like the wisdom of this world, but it doesn't sound like the wisdom that comes from God himself. When you choose to follow God, he generates happiness in you. Lot said happiness, you're obliged to suspend the satisfaction of our desires. This is one of the joyful things of happiness that you can do. You can set aside your happiness for someone else's. There's no greater joy on the planet than doing that. Where you see someone else, as the scripture said, of more value than yourself, and you give whatever it is that they need so that they can have the happiness that they need or the joy of their needs being met, and you get a greater joy by giving of your time, your talent, your money, whatever it may be, to give it to someone else. There's no greater joy. That's the joy of life, thinking of others, caring about others. The scripture says, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Look upon other men, other women, see what their needs are, and do that for them. Jesus said, people would know that you are my disciples by the love that you display to one another. So what does love do? Love gives to someone else. God demonstrated his love that he gave his only begotten son. Gave his only begotten. You see the love? You see the pursuing happiness? God was pursuing happiness when he gave his only son, and Jesus was pursuing happiness when he gave his life. In fact, it says that. It says that for the joy set before him, he despised the shame and endured the cross. What was the joy? Some of you have been around me for a while. Tell me who it is. What it is? It's you. That's right. You are the joy set before him, and he gave his life for you that he gets great joy out of it. Now, I know in theological terms, it's hard for us to imagine that God gets joy, but God is a person of feeling just like you are. Doesn't it say that you could quench the Holy Spirit? Huh? Didn't Jesus weep? Didn't he have emotions? Those things are real and are in the Godhead, and we have those things because they're instilled within us by him, and we experience those same things. So we give God joy by the fact that he gave his life for us, demonstrated his love. And when you give yourself for someone else, there's a euphoric joy that wells up within you, knowing that you made someone else's life better. Is this the truth or what? You know it's the truth. And what does selfishness do? It does nothing for you. When you gather all the toys for yourself and won't share, you actually rob yourself of what God would have you to do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. When we seek him first, he meets our needs. God will provide your needs according to his riches and glory. He will do that. I've seen some of the poorest people on this planet be the happiest people on this planet. In fact, I was with a preacher one time that I knew didn't have two nickels to rub together, and I was out on visitation with him, and we went to somebody's house, and they stuck money in his coat pocket. And I didn't see how much it was, but I could see it was more than a $1 bill. You know, it looked like a nice little roll of money. And we went on to the next house, and we were visiting these people. And this preacher reached in his pocket, didn't even look at how much money he had, and he gave it to those people. And I thought, Richard, his name was Richard, Richard, you need that money worse than they do. But he had great joy, and God provided for his needs beyond measure. The giving away of life, of things, is a demonstration that you're on the road pursuing happiness. When we seek him first, worry is defeated. You want to get rid of worry? Start seeking him. We won't worry. Does that mean we don't have trouble? No. We all have trouble in this life. But it means we won't be worried about it. Why? Consider the sparrows of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. And yet, not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Are you not worth more than one sparrow? No. You're worth more than many sparrows. The world seeks after all things to generate fleeting happiness. Liberated believers living in the garden of fruitful happiness have this: my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Those are promises of happiness that will give you a sense of well-being that you will never find anywhere else on this planet. Serving him. Happiness is a state created in men who have the very mind of Christ. And those who are born again have the mind of Christ. Freedom cannot produce happiness. Liberty is only a pathway that leads us to pursue happiness. Amen? All right, finally, I'm going to wrap up with this. You refuse to relinquish happiness. Galatians 4:28-5:1. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh pursued the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. So what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not, read that right there, we are not children of the slave woman. That's we, that's us. We are not women. We are not children of a slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Wow, what a strong, strong thing. Your happiness is generated because of whose you are, not because of who you are. You belong to Him. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. America cannot make you happy. America cannot make you happy. If America could make you happy, why do we have so many people addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to pornography, living lives running hither and yon, trying to gain something to make themselves happy? Look at the suicide rate in our own community in St. Tammany Parish, one of the most affluent parishes in the entire state, and we have the highest suicide rate of any state, of any parish in the state. You see the what's wrong with that picture? Look at the divorce rate in America. There's something wrong. America can't produce for us. Happiness is a result of being born again and being set free by Christ. You are no longer a child of the flesh like Ishmael. It's a false promise to believe that you can gain happiness here in America. See, the secular world that's trying to run our nation has brought forth the lie that they can produce happiness for the citizens of the United States. That is a bogus lie that will never work. The only thing that will bring happiness is Jesus Christ. And every time they tear down the Ten Commandments, every time they refuse to let children pray in school, every time they do that, they tear down the truth and replace it with a lie. And the lie is that the government can do for you what no one else can do. That is not true, and it will never be true. That is the flesh at work in all of its glory. The attempt to force you to do God's will, attempt you to force God's will for happiness, attempt to say that God wants me to do something, and so I'm free to do it. That's a lie. That's not true. There are limitations on us provided by the Holy Spirit about what we can do. We can do all the good we want, but we're never free to go back and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are to partake of the tree of life, just like we did this morning through communion. We're partaking of the tree of life. You are set free and have become children of promise. We're no longer a slave to the law. We've been liberated from the law. We are not under the law. In fact, I'd encourage you to come be with us as we go through the book of Romans, which we're going to start next week, God willing. And we'll be talking about these things and showing how we're not under the law anymore, but we're under the divine grace of God. We're no longer a slave to sin. Sin has no dominion over you. We sin because we want to, not because we have to. You weren't born this way. Well, I'm just like my mother. I'm just like my dad. You know, they did it. It's been a long line of that. Well, it's time to break the line. You do not have to live as a slave to sin. We are no longer a slave to the flesh. You can make your flesh stop. You don't have to listen to it. I didn't say it was easy, but you can do it. You can stop the cravings of the flesh. America needs to stand fast in Christ under the freedom and liberty that has been bestowed upon us. The pursuit of happiness begins at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, our Lord, for the great gift that you have given us. Father, let your presence be the guiding light of our lives, that we would pursue you, Lord. That's what it's really all about. Pursuing happiness, pursuing you. For you have all the joy and peace and love that we need for life and goodness, wrapped up in Christ Jesus. And you give it freely and abundantly to those who ask. Father, we submit ourselves to you that your will be accomplished in our lives. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.